Good morning. Good morning, all. It's 11 a.m. Eastern time here on the first Wednesday of May, the month dedicated to our mother, the Blessed Virgin. It's a bright and sunny day here in Michigan. Kind of cool, but I hope it's bright and sunny where you are. We've got a great, great event scheduled for you this morning, and I welcome the members, family, and friends of the American Association, as well as those who have joined us from the federal and the Western Association as well. Our presenter this morning is the Very Reverend David Caron, the Vicar of Evangelization for the Archdiocese of New Orleans. He's a former president and assistant professor of liturgical and sacramental theology of the Aquinas Institute of Theology in St. Louis, Missouri. He joined the Dominican Order in 2000. He has taught in the theology department at Barry University of Miami and served in the provincial leadership of the Southern Dominican Province, excuse me. Father David was named a Missionary of Mercy by Pope Francis in 2016. Father Dave is very well known and is a good friend to many of us here in the Order, having served for almost 20 years, first as Deputy Chaplain in 2008. First as Deputy Chaplain, and then in 2008, he was made Magistral Chaplain. Familiar face to many through his participation in the Lord's Pilgrimage, the Investiture, Area Retreats, and Days of Recollection. And, of course, through his frequent contributions to this ministry, the Spiritual Outreach Calls. And most recently, of course, Father Dave led the moving prayer service of reconciliation during the recently concluded Lord's Spiritual Pilgrimage. And with that, I'll turn it over to Father Dave Caron. Father Dave?
Yes, good morning. Good morning. God bless you all as we begin. Let's call upon Mary as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, I'm privileged to be here with you this morning to share a presentation called The 4 P's of Spiritually Thriving During the COVID-19 Pandemic, Plus One. This actually was part of an interview on Catholic Community Radio here in New Orleans, and then as a result of people calling asking for copies of this, I actually wrote an article. So, you know, while just about everyone realizes that life is now in uncharted territory with the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, many people of faith are inviting others to not only understand the seriousness of the present health scare and situation, but to also see this as an opportunity to move forward, not to be victims, but to thrive, actually. And many believe how Christians respond during this time of crisis might, in fact, provide an opportunity to redeem the church in a culture that's lost faith. Crisis invites all to act and respond like Jesus himself. So what follows is my 4 P's to-do strategy, not only to survive the pandemic, but to spiritually and humanly thrive in it, whatever might come. So the first P that I planned was plan. P. Every individual and family needed, as we began this crisis, to have a plan, a schedule of how they would maneuver each day and each week. And I suggested that the conversation about what the plan would be for the upcoming week would occur on Sunday with everyone's buy-in, and that plans could be flexible and fluid, but if the family or the individual found a plan not working, that they could adjust it. But planning, however, brings structure and creates normalcy. And if your plan, in your plan, that you should build in the time when everyone gets up every day as if it was a normal day. Because as we know, the pandemic is not a vacation. And for now, some are calling it the new norm or the new now. And everyone in the house should shower and get dressed, and no lounging in pajamas or sweatpants all day. Everyone needs to have a schedule, because you need to know when you're going to work and when you're going to eat and when you're going to pray. And parents that are raising little kids that are still going to school online, maybe you're navigating how the adults and the children use the 1 or 2 computers that you have in the house. All that takes planning. But now that we're kind of into the 6th and 7th, or maybe even the 8th week, depending on what part of the country you live in, we might need to be adjusting the plan. So all that needs careful conversation within the family. The second P is pray. So we had plan, now there's pray. And every individual needs to look at their own prayer schedule. Needs to be embedded into the daily schedule. And I feel this is the most important out of the four P's that I'm about to mention. But I think I began with plan because we've got to ask God to bless the plan or to help us change the plan, should there need to be an alternative. In addition to prayers before meals, and prayer could be added to everyone as they begin their time of study or their time of work. The family could halt their work in the time of the day if they can connect to a live stream mass, maybe from their home parish or maybe it's from the cathedral. Now, on Sunday mornings, hopefully families are gathered around computers and other things so that they can watch their live stream mass, so they can see their community at prayer together and experience that. Or maybe they pray the Stations of the Cross, or communities are also having times of adoration, praying the rosary together. So there's lots of ways of praying. The U.S. Catholic Bishops Conference also provides, as does other resources like Give Us This Day or Magnificat, the reading of the daily scripture readings, especially two for Sunday. And some families I know are actually reading the Sunday Gospel on Thursday or Friday night before Sunday, and then actually talking about what does this scripture passage mean to us. So by the time that you get together to hear it proclaimed in the liturgy on Sunday, you've already prayed over that scripture, and you've already brought your own needs to the story of what Jesus tells us in that gospel. So there's lots of times and opportunities to pray. So I would encourage you not only to plan, but also to pray. And again, now that we're weeks into this, you know, a question that I'm asking, I ask of myself and I ask of others, how is your prayer life going now that we're into this sixth, seventh, or eighth week? You find that you're praying more. One family called me and asked me if they could go into the church, because our churches here in New Orleans are unlocked all day so that people can go in and pray privately. They asked if they could take a copy of the missal at home, because they found that as time went on, their little kids were having a difficult time going to church at home. So now they prop the kids up on their lap and they let them read with the reader who's reading online at the live stream mass, and they get to follow along, and that they found that's worked. So again, we need to get creative in what we do with our prayer. What I also find is interesting is I'm studying, because of my job as an evangelization director, that we're finding that live stream masses are up 5%. Now more people are going to church via live stream than actually ever sat in our pews on Sunday. It's an interesting endeavor, and we need to look at that and ask, who are these people? Some of them are people that might have left the church and have come back because of the pandemic or other reasons. Some are new people that are looking to connect and wanting their spiritual life to be fed. So those are great opportunities. So we need to bring both of those situations to our prayer life. So we need to be praying for those individuals who are coming back, but also coming to the church for the first time. So please find time in your day to pray. It may not be easy to do, but try to do that. So plan, prayer, the third P is people. You know, in order to thrive in our spiritual life, we need not only to connect to God, but we also need to connect with people. And in the few times that we might find ourselves out in public, and I know that's changing in different parts of the country now as social distancing rules might be lifting or changing quite a bit, but can I invite you to be friendly to other people? Even offer a smile behind a mask if you're wearing one. Wave at people. Say hello from 6 feet away. Because what's 6 feet between friends? They and we are both created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1:27 reminds us of that. Therefore, there can be no blaming or shaming in regards to the virus. No one is a pariah. Instead, because we seek Christ in people, how can we find new ways of staying connected with others? And this pandemic is a time of isolation and loneliness for many individuals, especially senior citizens or the ill and the poor. Can we build into our schedule opportunities to connect with others? Of course, family and friends, colleagues and neighbors. You know, a lot of people are using FaceTime and WhatsApp and other social media opportunities to do that. But, you know, is there a way that we can even reach out to people down the street? Maybe what we do is, I know a family, what they do is they, when the mom bakes cookie for her kids, she then bakes an extra batch and she leaves the plate on the front porch for the senior citizen down the street and then calls or texts them and says, there's a gift for you out in the front porch. How do we do that with each other? How do we invite them into a relationship, especially people that may be far from relatives or friends or might be lonely or isolated? You know, another important thing to remember in this time of isolation is also connecting to people whose relatives and friends either might be very sick or might have died. I'm finding in my ministry that there's a lot of sadness, a lot of guilt even, because some individuals cannot be with their loved one as they're passing away. It's bringing a lot of sadness, a lot of heartbreak. We're in new uncharted territory. But are there ways that we can reach out to those individuals? I actually created, and I can send to anybody who's interested, a Zoom remembrance service. In a lot of places, funerals can't be celebrated or people postpone them till after the pandemic. Well, how do we ritualize people's lives now, here and now? And so the Zoom remembrance service that I created allows people to get together online as a family, as friends, and each from their own home. And they start with a prayer. They read a scripture passage. And then they basically tell stories about the loved one who has gone home to God. They might have flowers. They might have a photo. I even know families that have had the grandchildren play the violin or play the piano. And sometimes grandma or grandpa's favorite poem gets to be read. It's little ways of keeping people's stories alive. So again, how do we connect with people? How do we not see people as part of the problem, and the fact that instead each of us are the image and likeness of God? So again, plan, prayer, and celebrate people. The fourth and the final P is play. The coronavirus is serious. This is a time to observe that faith and science are important conversation partners. And we need to be serious in the ways that we respond to the medical and governmental directives to care for our own health and the health of others. If you think about it, it's a pro-life stance to do this. And I know it's difficult because we're talking also about the economy. So we need to find a balance, and hopefully God's going to help us in doing that. But I see that we also need time to play as individuals and as family, but to do it in a safe way. You know, perhaps everyone in the house, after concluding his or her work and studies, they take a break. The backyard or the balcony, if you don't have a backyard, might be a wonderful place to go outside and celebrating the appropriate social distancing, breathe the fresh air. Be out in the sunshine as we're invited to go out and to be in the nice weather as it happens. Does the garden need watering? Are there chores that need attention outside? Those can all be nice ways of getting outside and getting fresh air. Some families I know have a game night where what they do is that after dinner one evening, they play a board game together. It sounds really kind of old school, but maybe it's time that we relook at some of the old school strategies and bring them back in. I know families that play Bible trivia and do other kinds of things. Others have a movie night. They watch good Christian movies together and then have a conversation about them. And some friends of mine, and we were just talking about this offline, some friends of mine actually even have a Zoom dinner party where they all are in their own homes and they eat their own food, but they do it together and they talk about things that are important to them. It's a way of connecting and being in conversation, even at a distance, but doing it together. Be creative. These are opportunities to play for one's own mental and spiritual health, and there's lots of ways of doing that. So don't forget to schedule in some play. So again, we started with planning, praying, It's about people. And the last one is playing. Okay, but maybe I said there's a plus one here. And the plus one is not so much an action, it's an attitude. So unlike the other ones, this is something that we need to think mentally and prepare for, and it's patience. Let's be patient with one another and with everyone. You know, the need for patience is only going to grow. As the restrictions are lifted, both in the government and our civic areas, but also even with the church, we're in uncharted territory here. So as churches reopen, we still have to keep the social distancing. So that may mean that not everyone is able to go into church for Mass or to receive communion right now. But eventually, as time goes on and as we hopefully become healthier as a community, those restrictions will be lifted and there'll be less and less. How do we have patience? Patience with the government, patience with each other, patience with churches. You know, as I talk to family and friends, you know, in 6, 7, 8 weeks together, there's a lot of cabin fever. You know, we're in close proximity to each other, more so than we've been in a long time. And, of course, schedules get changed because of that, and sometimes tempers get short with each other. So how do we find ways of being patient? Of course, prayer is a big piece of that, you know. So, again, we need to be patient with each other, be patient with work, and hopefully our employers are being patient with us as well. Be patient with leaders, that's family, that's with the government, and also with the church and other entities. And be patient with God. It's really important. Be patient with God, because maybe in your prayer you're asking for something. And God always answers our prayers, but may not answer the prayers in the way we think God should answer them. So be patient with God and realize that God is being patient with you. So those are the four P's of spiritually thriving during the coronavirus pandemic. Plus one, have a plan. Adjust the plan if it needs to be done. Second P, pray. Ask God to bless the plan and help you adjust it if you need it. Ask God to bless those that are in our lives and those that are infected or affected by the coronavirus. Third is people. Always see people as the image and likeness of God, and hopefully they see us the same way. And the fourth P, play. Build play into your daily and weekly schedule. Get outside. Get some fresh air. Do something that's lighthearted so no one is watching the news 24/7 and just spiraling down. And then lastly, have patience with each other and with God, knowing God is going to have patience with you. So friends, as we finish this spiritual outreach call, know that I'm praying for you and your loved ones. Know that God is with us in all this. We're not alone. The Holy Spirit is guiding us in everything that Jesus taught us to do and to be. And so may we reach out as Christ to others. Let's conclude now with a prayer as we call upon the Lord using the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Father David. I hope this isn't irreverent. But a line came in my head as the memorial service as you began your talk. They say, life has changed, but not ended. And I think there have certainly been changes, but as you point out, there's a way to actually make things move forward, maybe make things a little more spiritual as a result. So thank you. Thank you so much for your comments. I'll
God bless you.
Hear what you have to say. I'd like to remind the group that if you have friends or family who are unable to make this call live, it will be placed on the website as are the past monthly outreach calls on the website. This one will be up within a matter of hours, I'm sure. So if someone was unable to make this call live, please invite them to listen to the website some point later today. And to remind the group that our next call will be the first Wednesday in June, June 3rd. Our speaker will be Bishop Peter Rasaza from the Eastern Connecticut area. And a most interesting and intriguing topic. Here's the question. What did Jesus mean when he said, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And I'm sure that's going to be another interesting and intriguing talk. So I invite you to experience that with the rest of the group the first Wednesday of June. And until that point in time, I wish you a blessed month of May. Thank you all.